The Story of Our Health Message, Chapter 35, Faith Further Tested. The passing of resolutions by a group of men and women who are stirred to enthusiasm by persuasive oratory or deep conviction is good. It may be effective in giving an impetus to an undertaking, but it is not sufficient to ensure its success. Even a general acceptance of the plans promoted is not always enough when the enterprise launched calls for personal sacrifice, or proves to be a larger undertaking than was dreamed of in its inception. The faith of those who had so enthusiastically taken steps to make a regular medical college of the school at Loma Linda, California, was to be increasingly tested. There was an immediate need for dormitories for the young men and young lady students. With the opening of the college in the fall of 1910, it became necessary to provide a well-equipped laboratory building to meet the requirements of the state. Growing stronger, each succeeding year saw a marked strengthening of the various departments. The patronage of the sanitarium increased, and the institution was soon able to make a gratifying financial profit, but this was far from sufficient to meet the ever-increasing needs. In addressing a constituency meeting of the College of Medical Evangelists, as it was now called, in the spring of 1912, Elder G. Irwin, president of the Board of Trustees, referred to the launching of the college as one of the most important moves made by this denomination since the removal of our General Conference headquarters from Battle Creek, Michigan, to Washington, D.C. He set forth as the three essential factors for success: money with which to erect and properly equip the necessary buildings, the hearty cooperation of the entire denomination through its recognized leaders, and steadfast adherence upon the part of the directors and medical faculty to the principles contained in the instruction upon which the institution was founded. At this time, Dr. W. A. Rubel, the president of the college, reported an attendance of 235 students, including those taking the nurse's course and those taking preparatory work. With the entrance of the advanced class upon another year of study, the need for a clinical hospital was urged by the state medical authorities, and it was voted to proceed to raise $15,000 for this purpose. In time, the way was opened for the students to gain a broader clinical experience in hospitals in the nearby cities of San Bernardino and Los Angeles. Early in the development of Loma Linda, it was suggested that financial needs be met in part by the sale of a portion of the 76 acres of the estate. Regarding this, Mrs. White wrote on July 5, 1905, "Not one foot of that land is to be sold to raise money. We will hire money at the bank rather than that this shall be done." Additional land purchased, largely because of Mrs. White's foresight of the future needs of the growing institution, and her insistence, not only was there no sale of any part of the original property, but other adjoining tracts of land were purchased, until by 1912 there had been added about 225 acres, at an additional cost of over $50,000. "You need the land, and it will be a matter of regret by and by if it is not secured," she said emphatically in 1911, when the question of securing 86 acres was being considered. "I am sure, from the representations that have been made to me, that this piece of land ought to come into our possession. If you are wise, the next time I come here, you will have that land." Mrs. White frequently visited the growing work at Loma Linda and took the keenest interest in every development. Her gratification for what had been accomplished, and her hopes for its future, were well expressed in the same address from which we have just quoted. "The Lord is well pleased with what you have already done here at Loma Linda. When one sees the prosperity that has attended the work, and the spirit of consecration that prevails, the conviction deepens that you are working in harmony with God. I desire that all the work of this place shall be a correct representation of what our health institutions should be. Let everything that we lay our hands to show the result of the moving of the Spirit of God upon the human heart. This will be evidence that we have the higher education. Workers whose hearts are in obedience to the movings of the Spirit of God will make this place what God desires it to be. I am surprised, happily surprised, to see everything looking so well. It is beyond my expectations. And now let everyone strive to keep it so, and labor for improvement." Graduates from the school were to fill positions of responsibility in home and foreign fields. The value of the training at the institution was evident. But the financial burden continued to press heavily, and was the occasion for serious misgiving on the part of many whose responsibilities were such that they must make important decisions. At length in 1913, when the Board of Trustees realistically faced a further necessary enlargement of the faculty, and the addition of expensive buildings and equipment, a crisis was reached. A glance at the minutes of the meeting of the trustees of the College of Medical Evangelists, held at Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C., in October, 1913, in connection with the Autumn Council of the General Conference Committee, reveals a feeling of genuine dismay at the seemingly endless streams of money needed for the building program. Emergencies innumerable had been met by the borrowing of more money, and the indebtedness of the institution had been mounting yearly. Besides this, increasing requirements from the American Medical Association were bringing added perplexities. A study of costs. Now some were again questioning seriously the aim of furnishing a complete course for physicians. One member feared that the advancement made was not carrying the people with it. The treasurer of the General Conference said that he felt that our finances are now beyond the grasp of the denomination, and asked, "What is the future of Loma Linda?" "Perhaps," said another, "we made a mistake in going ahead and establishing a full medical school when we were conducting a medical missionary school successfully. The instruction has called for a medical school. We are in a situation that we must get out of, but we must get out of right." This perplexed speaker thought it was time for prayer. A committee was appointed, and it later reported on the comparative annual cost of a 3-year course and a 5-year course. And so the matter of giving the complete medical course once again hung in the balance for a few days, while the difficulties were faced and rehearsed. One thoughtful speaker, recognizing that the great objective was to man the mission fields at home and abroad with recruits with a medical missionary training, seriously raised the question as to whether those who might be graduated as professional doctors would make the gospel teaching first in their work, or whether they would follow more professional lines. The answer to this vital question was then, as it is now, the true measure by which the great sacrifices made by the members of the church are worthwhile. At length, in the last evening session, after 6 days of study, a resolution was introduced by the president of the General Conference, calling for the appointment of a commission to examine into the entire workings of the institution at Loma Linda and the prospects of recognition of the work done there. One of their duties was to study carefully the instruction that has been given with reference to the establishment of the institution. This commission was to do its work and report later, but it was decided in the meantime to conduct the 4th and 5th years of the medical course in Los Angeles. Another severe test. 2 years later, in 1915, there came another severe test of faith in the rapidly expanding work of the College of Medical Evangelists. Despite the efforts that had been put forth, and the investments of scores of thousands of dollars, the College of Medical Evangelists had but a C rating. This low rating closed the door against the graduates in many of the states. Had we, after all, some questioned, fought a losing battle? To go ahead, with any hope of success, it was necessary that provision be made for the necessary clinical experience by erecting a hospital in the city of Los Angeles. This required an initial outlay of more than $60,000. Some urged that the large indebtedness already incurred should first be met, but it was pointed out that the standing of the graduates would be imperiled by delay. The issue came up for final decision at a meeting of the constituency of the College of Medical Evangelists held in connection with the Autumn Council of the General Conference Committee assembled at Loma Linda in 1915. The remarks of some were indicative of an imminent strong opposition to going ahead with the required program. During an evening meeting of the session, as those present were considering the grave problems that presented themselves, there came a gentle tap on the door. The following statement, based upon the memory of one who was present, states in graphic manner what followed. Four women requested admittance and a moment's time of the conference. They were Mrs. Josephine Gotzian, lover of our medical work, Mrs. Stephen N. Haskell, woman of faith and strong belief in the power of the Word of God, her sister, Mrs. Emma Gray, who had been left a widow comparatively early in life with a family on her hands, and had little with which to do, but who had triumphed over many obstacles and who knew what it meant to contend against great odds, and Dr. Florence Keller, whose pioneer work as a physician in New Zealand for this people had thrilled many a heart. In earnest tones, these sisters requested that the school go on, that a hospital be erected in Los Angeles as a teaching unit for the clinical division, that it be dedicated and made sacred to the memory of Ellen G. White, and that the task of raising the money for this hospital be committed to the women of the denomination. A sacred hush pervaded the room, And then these quiet members of the remnant church, not one of whom held any official position, thanked the brethren for their courtesy and retired. But their words had spoken courage, and many a heart there had been inspired. We do not say stop. That same evening a few brethren of faith invited the president of the General Conference to meet with them. Together they again reviewed the instruction given through the spirit of prophecy, and spent a large portion of the night in prayer for guidance. The next morning Elder A.G. Daniels addressed the members of the delegation. He admitted his own fears and apprehension, which he knew had been shared by others. But in clear, forceful language he now reaffirmed his faith in the council that had guided them in their former decisions, and declared his deep conviction that there was only one way to go, and that was forward. This positive stand on his part was a potent influence in strengthening the faith of others who had come to the meeting with grave misgivings. After thorough discussion, formal action was taken, advising the Board of Management to carry on the school in harmony with the counsel given through the servant of the Lord, providing a 4-year medical course. Elder A.G. Daniels, in speaking to this resolution, said, "We must square up to this now. We have considered this matter seriously and prayerfully, and have finally reached the decision set before you in these recommendations. Is there anything else in this world to do, but to encourage our young people who contemplate taking the medical course, to go to this school? When we pass this recommendation, we commit ourselves to the earnest support of this school. We do not say stop. We say, go on and maintain this school, and make it a success. When I vote for that, I feel in duty bound from this day on to do all I can by my counsel and influence to help them carry the school through successfully, and that I am pledged to do. A clinical hospital needed." Back in 1901, Mrs. White bore positive testimony against a proposal to establish a sanitarium in the city of Los Angeles. Concerning this, she says, "In August 1901, while attending the Los Angeles camp meeting, I was, in the visions of the night, in a council meeting. The question under consideration was the establishment of a sanitarium in Southern California. By some it was urged that this sanitarium should be built in the city of Los Angeles, and the objections to establishing it out of the city were pointed out. Others spoke of the advantages of a country location. There was among us one who presented this matter very clearly and with the utmost simplicity. He told us that it would be a mistake to establish a sanitarium within the city limits. A sanitarium should have the advantage of plenty of land, so that the invalids can work in the open air. For nervous, gloomy, feeble patients, outdoor work is invaluable. In harmony with that counsel, property was purchased on May 26, 1905, at Loma Linda, San Bernardino County, California, as we have already noted, for the purpose of opening a medical institution that would serve also as an educational center. On August 24, the Loma Linda Sanitarium was organized as a corporation, and in the autumn of the same year, the institution accepted transfer students of nursing, who completed their training and were graduated as a class in 1907. In the preceding year, 1906, the Loma Linda College of Evangelists opened, giving instruction in college subjects, some of which later could be applied on an approved medical course. The state of California, in 1909, granted the school a charter authorizing the giving of instruction leading to degrees. Some of the students previously enrolled and new ones formed the initial class. The course of study was 5 years in length. The first graduation of a class in medicine consisted of 6 persons, one of them a lady, who received their diplomas on June 17, 1914. It was not, however, until May 11, 1910, that the sanitarium and the college, hitherto incorporated under separate charters, were merged to form the one corporate body to be known as the College of Medical Evangelists. The medical training center at Loma Linda prospered and grew, so that by 1912, it had a total attendance of 235 students. By this time it had become evident to all concerned that a clinical hospital was needed to provide the advanced classes of medical students with the practical experience necessary to meet all the requirements for graduation. The state medical authorities recommended that such facilities be provided. But Loma Linda and its environs did not have population enough to supply such a clinical hospital with the required number of patients. So, in looking around for an area that could serve the need, the eyes of some of the brethren turned toward the city of Los Angeles, for a clinic in Los Angeles. However, It was remembered that in 1901 Mrs. White had received instruction that it would be a mistake to establish a sanitarium within the city limits of Los Angeles. Would the establishment of a clinical hospital in that city for the purpose of giving practical experience to the advanced classes of students of the College of Medical Evangelists be a move contrary to that counsel? It was felt by some of the brethren that the testimony of 1901 had reference to a sanitarium, and not to a clinical hospital such as the needs of the medical college now required. In those days, Elder W.C. White was an active member of the College Board of Managers and attended nearly all its important meetings. Because of his close association with his mother, he gave special encouragement and support to proposals which he knew to be in harmony with the instruction that the Lord had given to her. Late in March and extending over into the first days of April, 1912, the Board of Managers held a series of business meetings at Loma Linda. One of the questions under consideration was that of establishing the needed clinical hospital. During the forenoon of April 4th, Elder White briefly informed his mother about the work that the board was doing at this time. In the notes made by him in Loma Linda at the time, he states that he first told Mrs. White about the board needing funds for the installation of a new heating plant, because the old boiler had broken down. "Then I told her briefly the story of our hospital plans," he continues. "I spoke first of the necessity of medical students coming in contact with sick people before they go forth alone to take the lives of men and women in their hands. I spoke of the fact that there are hospitals connected with the larger medical colleges, and that the state licensing boards are demanding that those who ask for permission to practice medicine shall have an experience in dealing with sick people before they go out alone to bear responsibilities. Then I spoke of the various plans we had before us, that we had sometimes thought of erecting a large hospital and endeavoring to give our students all of this experience here, that sometimes we had planned to take them to Los Angeles and let them get their experience there, and that sometimes we had planned to do part of the work here and part in Los Angeles." Mother spoke up very cheerfully and promptly, and said that was the better way to do part of the work here and part in Los Angeles. "Then I spoke at some length of the advantages of getting part of the experience here and part in Los Angeles, and she repeatedly spoke her approval of that plan." Mrs. White had been physically unable for several days to take an active part in the meetings of the board, but when requested to attend the meeting on the afternoon of April 4th, she consented only on condition that Elder White should take the burden of stating to the brethren the facts regarding the interview which he had with her in the morning, and should give them the advice which she had given regarding the problems then discussed. This he did. The 4 years from 1912 to 1915 witnessed successive crucial decisions made in behalf of the College of Medical Evangelists. This period paralleled the last 4 years of Mrs. White's life. Though physically weak, she manifested a keen interest in the development of the medical school. She made visits to Loma Linda and gave counsel and guidance that helped the leaders of the institution to make decisions far-reaching in their results. Courage and joy. The difficulties that arose between the decision to provide clinical hospital facilities in Los Angeles for the medical students and the accomplishment of this purpose, Mrs. White felt as a burden on her heart. But 2 months before her death, she received information that was encouraging. On the morning of May 9, 1915, Elder W.C. White reported to his feeble, bedridden mother that Mrs. Leda Scott had given $5,000 for the purchase of land for the establishment of a hospital in Los Angeles. Of her joy at hearing the news, he said. Mother's lips quivered, and for a moment she shook with emotion. Then she said, "I am glad you told me this. I have been in perplexity about Loma Linda, and this gives me courage and joy." After a little further conversation, I knelt down by her side and thanked the God of Israel for his manifold blessings, and prayed for a continuance of his mercies. Then Mother offered a very sweet prayer of about a dozen sentences, in which she expressed gratitude, confidence, love, and entire resignation. W. C. White, in the Review and Herald, September 28, 1916. The constituency meeting in the fall of 1915 authorized the erection of the hospital in the city of Los Angeles. Mrs. S. N. Haskell, Mrs. G. A. Irwin, and others untiringly led the womanhood of the denomination in the campaign to raise the $60,000 needed for the enterprise. The year 1916 saw the success of this campaign, and on December 1st there was sufficient money in sight to begin the erection of the first buildings of this institution, fittingly named the LNG, White Memorial Hospital, given a higher rating. The next year, through a series of remarkable providences, the College of Medical Evangelists was given a higher rating by the American Medical Association, that of B grade. Today it enjoys an A rating, the highest obtainable. Its graduates have carried its good reputation all over the world. Since 1915, other crises in the experience of the institution have arisen that have called for tireless labor, unwavering faith, and heavy investments. But there has been not a shadow of turning back on the part of its constituency. Soon after this council in the fall of 1915, Elder Effenberg, instructor in Bible in the college, in a special Thanksgiving service, expressed his sentiments thus. This council has also given us reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving, by clearing the atmosphere surrounding the Loma Linda Medical College of the depressing element of uncertainty that has been a real trial of faith to both the teachers and the students. This fiery trial that has tried us is not a strange thing. We should appreciate the magnitude of the problem which presents itself to those who are responsible for the financial obligations that are involved in maintaining and providing our school with the equipment necessary to assure its success. Reflection on our part will help us to understand the reasons for their conservative and careful deliberation while counseling together as to the policy that should be adopted and followed. However, man's extremity is God's opportunity. So, at the opportune time, light came to the servants of God from that source which has in all the history of our work given clear vision to men of faith. The testimonies of the Spirit of God pointed the way for us to go. Our brethren said, "We will follow the light that has come concerning this school, and go forward in obedience to all that the Lord has said." What has been done, the decision to follow God and go forward together with the great financial problem involved in it, demands, in connection with our expression of gratitude today, a new and deeper consecration to God, that we may share with our brethren in the burdens that the maintenance and the building up of the institution involve, and also, and above everything else, that the one object in the planting of the school may be fully realized, the going out from its halls to the beckoning mission fields of many young men and young women prepared by consecration and by the training they may receive here, to bring relief to the sick and suffering, and to point them to the Savior of men and prepare them for His soon coming. This added responsibility comes alike to both students and teachers. More diligence, more praying, more hard work for the teachers. The same, with earnest cooperation, for the students. Thus working together here, with the active cooperation of our brethren who have been here in council, and with the blessing of God, we shall see good days for the Loma Linda College, and a large place for it in the closing work of God. And beyond all the struggles, the toil, and the patient waiting, we shall share the joys of Christ when He sees the travail of His soul, and with Him, we shall be satisfied. Our joy will be complete then, and our expression of praise and thanksgiving will have no end. These words are worthy of repetition, and their sentiments, we are assured, are still cherished by the many teachers, students, and alumni of Loma Linda University.